Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, the College Football Corner. Handful of different college football news and notes. Get back into a couple different UGA football topics as well. Georgia's got Kentucky this weekend. It's homecoming.
Yeah.
You going? Here's the difference between you and me. One of the many differences between you and me. It's Georgia's homecoming this weekend. In Athens,
right.
Where you played football.
I did.
And live about an hour away from.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's also homecoming for Appalachian State,
uh-huh.
Where my wife went to college.
Correct.
And covered the football team and loved the football team. And we're going. It's 5 hours away.
Right.
Taking Sunday off from the Wade Ford tailgate show. Driving up there, doing a weekend in Boone, North Carolina.
Right.
And it's going to be great. Looking forward to it. But, you know, 5 hours away to go to homecoming.
Okay.
To a school I didn't go to.
Mm-hmm.
Versus an hour away from a school that you did. Anyway.
Yeah, and homecoming's fun, man. Myers Quad going to be off the hinges on Saturday. It's so much fun. You get to see all your homies and the Greeks and everybody. They do a great job.
You should
go. They don't need me up there.
Why not?
Because, matter of fact, I have something to do Saturday. I get an appearance over at Delta on Saturday afternoon, so I can't make it.
Well, yeah. The game's at 6. When's your performance or appearance?
2 to 4.
Well, it's an hour to get to Athens.
But it might take longer because I'm going to be by the airport.
That's true, and also traffic getting in and out and all that stuff. So that's back-to-back Saturdays with an appearance.
I know, man. I got another one following. I mean, you know.
Media member Randy McMichael.
No, it's give me that loop, Randy. You going to pay me what? For 2 hours?
Sure, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Sign me up. All right. We'll get to the Wendy Zone at 11:40 as well. NFL No Huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Let's start here with Matt Ryan talking about that number 99 from the Rams.
I wouldn't say my experience has been positive. I mean, he's a great player and very physical on the inside. He's excellent against the run game. He's excellent against the pass. He's one of those guys that, you know, you have to tailor your game plan to account for where he's at, and they do a great job of moving him around. And so for us, I think it's going to be really important to communicate really well and make sure we're all on the same page as they move him around to different spots.
Yeah, that was one of those questions where we're all standing there around Matt Ryan in his media availability yesterday. And when the reporter asked the question, he prefaced it by saying, you've had a lot of success and what your experiences have been good going up against Aaron Donald because they've beaten him.
Right.
He's beaten Aaron Donald.
Right.
And Matt's like, well, yeah, we won those games, but he got his hands on me quite a few times.
Yeah, he did.
And I don't like that very much.
Yeah, but they did a good job as far as what Aaron does best is that he plays the run on which of the pass, on which of the quarterback. So basically he's going to the quarterback.
God, and that's hard to run. Do.
Oh, you got to be special. You got to be special
really
to,
good
do that.
To do that.
But, I mean, they got Michael Brock is a very good player. Aaron Donald's the key, but Michael Brock is a very good player in the interior. Looks like Clay Matthews is not going to play. Dante Fowler, he is who he is. Troy Hill's going to be the other corner starting opposite of Jalen if he does play. So, I mean, you got some opportunities to make plays. You just got to figure out where that guy is.
Sean McVay mentioned earlier today, right after their practice, that Todd Gurley is feeling good.
Uh-huh.
And it's looking better that he might be able to go on Sunday. Not great news for the Falcons. How do you – I know this is a ridiculous question that every defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator has been trying to answer, and offensive lineman is trying to answer since Aaron Donald came in the league.
Uh-huh.
How? What is the effective strategy against him?
You got to keep. You got to.
What do you do?
Two bodies.
Okay.
You got to have two
but
bodies.
But even still, everybody does that.
He figures out. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to stop greatness. But I mean, a lot of times what teams try to do, and they were doing it earlier in the year, is they were doing play action pass to wherever he was. They would have the two bodies, but then they would also bring the back right there too. So it's basically three damn people blocking one guy.
I remember in the playoff game where the Falcons beat the Rams a couple years
ago.
They
moved the pocket.
They moved Matt Ryan out quite a bit. They had multiple guys on him. They leave a running back in there to try to chip him a little bit.
Right.
You're chipping a guy who's rushing up the middle. That's something
else. That's greatness.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Man.
Well, What makes him specifically so great, by
his
the way?
Hand,
like,
his,
we always talk it, about him being great. What is
his leverage and his hands and his get-off. And when you got and Big Jarvis, I know he's out there. He'll tell you that. When you got those three things in the interior, then you got something special.
Yeah.
And his, I mean, he, if you ever see him, because I've seen Aaron, and Aaron is not like a D-tackle. Just like, you know, when you see Grady, they don't look like defensive tackle.
What does he
tackle.
Look like?
It looks like he can play outside back. The dude is just ripped and jacked. But you put him in that three technique or the one or whatever, and he's just disruptive, man.
We were up there yesterday at Flowery Branch, had a chance to talk to a bunch of different people, Matt Ryan included. Also spent a little bit of time with Isaiah Oliver. Brian Gebhardt didn't think I was going to be able to get to this clip, but here we go. Here's Isaiah Oliver.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you kind of look at all the games that they played against like defenses, so whether it's Dallas Cowboys, 49ers, at the same time, it's kind of just about what we do. It's about us and playing the coverages and the techniques that we know how to play best. That'd be most effective.
So I posted the video of that quote as well from Isaiah Oliver. You guys are mean, man. Leave Isaiah alone. Don't go after him on Twitter. He knows he's not playing good.
But that's what they do.
Stop yelling at him, all
that's
right?
That's what they do.
Just all this mean vitriol. They're right. They're right. Isaiah's been struggling.
He's been struggling.
He's been struggling mightily.
Yeah, but you ain't got to be so damn mean.
You know,
he know he's struggling.
He's so mean about it.
He know he's struggling. He's
calling for his job. Saying he shouldn't be in the league anymore.
He just got here.
One guy just tweeted a gif of a toaster.
Because he is.
He's calling him toast.
Yeah. he just got here. He could get better.
Of course he could get better. Well, here's the thing. I think, and look, Isaiah Oliver has been bad, and he needs to be better. So let me say that first and foremost before I say what I'm about to say. I think there's a lot of cornerbacks in football right now that would look bad on this defense because there's no pass rush to speak of.
Nothing.
Like, if you don't have a quarterback who's affected at all by what your pass rush is trying to do to him, mm-hmm. just go back and watch how much time these guys have in this pocket, especially Deshaun Watson. What that offensive line was doing against the Falcons, he was in a lawn chair back there. He was camping out having a picnic and then throwing to whatever wide receiver he wanted to throw to. Now, Isaiah Oliver got burned repeatedly by Will Fuller in that game.
Now, to the same thing, did you see Will Fuller against Kansas City?
Yes.
He was awful.
Yes, he was.
And it was crazy because...
Well, he was tired from all the catches he made against the Falcons.
It was funny because my Donna's one of her good friends. She texted me like right before the game, and she was trying to decide who to start between Tyreek Hill and Will Fuller. I was like, well, you always start Tyreek Hill, you know.
Did she listen?
Yeah, she listened. Okay, but good. She was like, did you see Will Fuller against the Falcons last? I was like, yeah, that was because they played the Falcons. That's why I got busy.
Yeah. And that was on Isaiah Oliver quite a bit. But again, if you could affect the quarterback every once in a while, like, I'm not trying to absolve him from any blame. He's been bad. They've all been bad. So we just talked about that play that Brian Baldinger broke down. That's a unit failure. That's everyone making a mistake and allowing a running back to turn a 5-yard gain into a 30-yard gain. Because he made a great play, because literally there was no one near.
It ain't Isaiah's fault. Where the hell is Deion DeAndre going?
That wasn't his fault. Some of them have been.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was Isaiah Oliver yesterday as well. For all the audio, all the coverage, you can go to our website, 929thegame.com, as well as follow us on Twitter, at 929thegame. Jarvis, Tanitra, Wendy, everybody up there doing a great job yesterday. You know what else I love about going to Flowery Branch on Wednesdays? Get to see in person the best friendship of Harry Douglas and Paul Crane. And to see them do their videos and their selfies that they take.
It's so lovely.
They're best friends.
It's lovely.
It's just it's a wonderful thing.
It's just lovely.
It's an unexpected best friendship that I very much enjoy.
Like, who's the most loving twosome? Is it those two, or is it Ronnie and Ozzy?
Wow. They're giving Ronnie and Ozzy a run for their money.
Yeah. Or is it Miggy and Joseph?
Miggy and Joseph? Harry and Paul? I don't know.
Yeah.
Harry did ask a ridiculous question in Matt Ryan's media availability yesterday, though. Like, everybody's, oh, what are you going to do against the Rams? How are you guys going to try to come back from 1-5? Harry goes, hey, Matt, what did you think about Louisville beating Boston College a couple weeks ago? In the middle of the media availability.
I love it.
Because it's Harry. He gets away with it. Everybody laughs. But everybody's looking at him like, all right. Hey, you know who the MVP has been through this portion of the Falcons season?
Probably it's either going to be Hoop or Grady.
Incorrect. Both incorrect, Randy.
Okay.
The MVP has been the fans. Because even though the Falcons are playing some bad football right now, the ratings are still pretty good. The fans are watching on TV.
It's football, man.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, you could find something better to do.
Yeah, it's football, okay? And as much as we,
Fans are the MVPs.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying, as much as we hear on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or on Twitter or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's still football, man. All right, and the Falcons are still your team.
All right?
It is what it is. They might not be in that state, but they're watching.
their ratings for the last two games have been an 18.1 and an 18.5, which means that 18% of the TVs that are on in the Atlanta market are, like, that's one in five TVs in this city are watching the Falcons play, even though the Falcons are one in five themselves. Yeah. Like, that's good.
It's your squad.
I know it is. And that's why I always say, when people want to give Falcons fans a hard time for not being whatever.
They might not be.
No, yes, they are.
They love their
team.
Yes,
they are.
They love
they're watching.
Their squad.
They might not be going to the stadium and spending the crazy prices for PSLs and getting in there when they're one in five, because this Sunday is going to be ugly in there.
Yeah.
So there are going to be some people in there, but there's not going to be that many people in there. There are going to be people at home saving money, watching on TV, drinking beer that's already paid for.
They love them Falcons.
Falcons.
I love that. Falcons.
All right. We'll get back to more NFL stories after we give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Diamond. D-I-A-M-O-N-D. Diamond. You have until 11:59 to text DIAMOND to 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881. We do know message and data rates applied. Please do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, the word is DIAMOND.
All right, a couple other things to get to here. This one does relate to the Falcons-Rams games on Sunday, but also probably the biggest story in the NFL this week, Jalen Ramsey being traded to the Rams earlier in the week. And says he hopes to debut on Sunday. It's amazing the recovery that his back has made since he's been traded to Los Angeles.
It's funny.
I would say that if I'm giving this a percentage chance of happening on Sunday, I'm about 100% that Jalen Ramsey is going to play for the Rams.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's going to play because he's I'm assuming that he got there yesterday, so maybe he got a chance to go through a little walkthrough or something and pick up on the scheme and everything. I mean, it's going to be a transition where he does what he does. He's the best corner, man-to-man corner. I mean, I know
– Is he?
Stephon Gilmore plays well. I mean, and the thing with Stephon Gilmore, he's a technician. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's very, very sound in his technique. Jalen's not the most sound technique guy. He's just a great athlete who shuts people down.
It seems like right now, and I know Jalen Ramsey's one of them, Stephon Gilmore is one of them. Patrick Peterson, when he's not suspended, is really good. There's been, like, a definitive number one best corner in the NFL for, like, the last 15 years or so. It's like, oh, Darrelle Revis is that guy. He's obviously the best one.
Yeah.
Like, Richard Sherman, for a brief period of time, might have been that guy. It's kind of like debatable right now.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's debatable because I said this a lot when I first talking about guys I played against. Dude, when you talk about Darrelle Revis, all of that stuff they talk about was straight on.
Yeah, Revis Island was real.
It was a real place where receivers went to have a slow Sunday.
Yeah, to have a really bad vacation.
Like he was a great athlete. Technician.
Yeah.
And would just
everything. Smart.
Yes.
Everything that you would want in a corner. Brian Gebhardt makes a great point, though. It's also like that we had the eras of cornerbacks telling us that they were the best guy, too. Because, like, Deion was the best, but he also told you he was the best. Darrelle Revis was the best. He told you he was the best.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman was the best. He told you he was the best. Jalen Ramsey is probably the closest we have to that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he did a whole article in GQ magazine where he called like half the NFL quarterbacks garbage.
You know, they asked Jared Goff about it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Jared, he didn't really kill Jared too
he
much. He didn't kill Jared too
much. He said
much.
You can win with him. I think that's what he said about Jared Goff. He didn't like
average to above average. That's what he said.
Average to above average. Well, that's fair. Like, that's what Jared Goff
compared
is right
to what
now.
He said to other people?
Oh, man. Like, he said all kinds of guys didn't even need to be in the league anymore. He said meaner things about Matt Ryan than he said about Jared Goff. Yeah. They're worried about Jared Goff in L.A. right now.
Yeah, they should be.
They just gave him a whole bunch of money, and without Todd Gurley, he doesn't look like the same guy.
No, but it's so funny when people say, well, he's a system quarterback. You're damn right. They know he's a system quarterback. That's why they gave him the money.
Well, there's a definition of it.
There's a definition of it.
Todd McShay. Sean McVay talks in his headset until he can't talk in his headset anymore, reading the defense
for him. And then you know what defense do? They change what they're going to do.
Right.
But you know what?
15 seconds is up. We can adjust now.
But you know what helps that out?
Huh.
Play action, because that's when he's really good. No matter what you're trying to throw at him, when they can run the ball.
Brock Osweiler retired and everyone's mad at him.
Why y'all mad at that man? All he did was sign a contract.
He got $41 million to be a bum.
Hey, that ain't his fault.
Is he the least production versus most money ratio quarterback in NFL history?
Sam Bradford.
Yeah. He's always going to be that. All right. We'll come back and get to a college football corner after this. A handful of different college football news and notes. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College Football Corner. News and notes from around the world of college football with the world's greatest flag football kicker, Andy Bunker.
Big freaking deal.
And the best tight end in UGA history, Randy McMichael.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with good time for the College Football Corner, 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams will step in studio with us here.
Bang.
There you go. A lot of stuff to get to, and we'll get to a couple of UGA topics and storylines that we had started the show with, and a couple of other ones as well, some Kirby Smart audio. There's a very unique situation developing, though, in the SEC East that I don't know how many people are really talking about this because it's Missouri, and I don't know how much are you thinking about Missouri. But Missouri's in the conversation right now in the East, and that's probably going to change. They haven't played Florida or Georgia yet. They'll probably lose to both of them, and then it won't matter. But if they don't, college football has a sticky situation on its hands, Randy, because they're banned from postseason play right now.
Right.
And they were supposed to get – they're appealing that, and they were supposed to get a decision on that ban in September. They haven't gotten it yet. And what's going to be – there's a couple different weird things that are going to happen the longer that this decision takes. You know, the college football playoff rankings debut, I think, November 5th.
That is correct.
Missouri plays some teams that they can beat between now and November 5th. Like, Missouri's going to beat Vanderbilt and beat Kentucky. And November 5th comes around before they play Georgia.
Right.
They won't even be – they're not allowed to be ranked in those rankings mm-hmm. because they have a postseason ban.
Correct.
What I didn't know – and, again, I fully expect Georgia to beat Missouri, so it's not going to matter. But, again, if they don't, they're not even allowed to play in the SEC championship game.
That's what I –
if they win the SEC East, yeah. they're not allowed to appear in the SEC
That's
championship
crazy.
Game.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And they're playing well. And we have a lot of fun on college football game time with our me and Checker have a lot of fun with Chris Gofor because he – because he was talking about Missouri, like, and after they lost that first game to Wyoming. Yeah, we were clowning them and everything. But he's been right. They've been playing well. They didn't score points.
His whole point was Missouri could be undefeated when they played Georgia.
Yes, because they didn't play against anybody. And then they lost to Wyoming.
And everybody's been making fun of him. But they're 5-1 now. Yeah. They've won every other game. And again, the two games they play before they play Georgia on November 9th are against Vanderbilt and against Kentucky. They'll probably win those games.
Yeah.
So they'll probably be 7-1 when they play Georgia.
Yeah.
Again, you look at who they played, the schedule's not that hard. Georgia will be favored in that game by a whole bunch of points, rightfully so. It's just, you've literally never seen this before in the playoff era.
Right.
They've never had to rank a team that's ineligible for postseason play. What are they waiting for? Like, what are they doing? Make a decision. How hard is it? Are they going to play in the postseason or not?
I don't know.
Like, what, do you need more evidence? what are we doing here?
What was the ban for?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Brian said in my ear, it's academic stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recall. Was it at the end of Gary Pinkel, or is this more recent than that?
No, I think it was Pinkel.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it is. All I know is a team that is currently atop the SEC East couldn't represent the SEC East if they ended the season there, which would be a really bad look. Make a decision, do it quickly, so at least Missouri can know what their future holds. I mean, I imagine it's probably not impacting them at this point at all in the season, but it will eventually literally impact what they're going to do in the postseason. And look, they might win 9 games this year. They've got a chance to win 9 games this season.
That's why I said New Year's Six Bowl.
They could be.
Yeah. So, right, whatever.
Make a choice. Do it quickly. All right? Seth Emerson wrote what I thought, and look, you know me. I like Seth Emerson's writing. He does a great job in The Athletic. I think he covers Georgia.
So it was an interesting article.
Incredibly well. This qualifies as an interesting article.
Okay.
It also qualified as a great headline where he asked whether or not the South Carolina loss would be a wake-up call or whether or not it would be a warning sign.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know yet. I mean, we have to project and predict and say what we think the rest of the season will be. But that's a great question because it's going to be one or the other.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think it's more of a wake-up call.
I hope so. And I
go back to what head coach Kirby Smart said before that game. This team ain't ready to play. They went through the motions, and that does happen sometimes.
He said that in his pregame interview.
Yes.
Like, as the game was about to start. Yeah, these guys aren't ready.
Yes.
How is that possible?
How is that possible? Exactly. Because everybody likes to play, a noon game. Man, it's time to go.
It's a football game.
This is what
you had all week to get ready for.
This is what you do. I know, you go to class sometimes, but it's what you do. Right? You play football.
When you knew it was going to start at noon when you started practicing for it on Monday.
So,
yeah.
So that's why I look at it as like, all right, this is there's something, and you talked about it earlier in the show, Bunk, about the philosophy and changing and all that. You can't change. He's not going to change who he was as far as Kirby. But what you can do is you can tinker.
Yes.
You can add.
Please tinker.
Guys can play better. You know, your starting quarterback can't have 4 turnovers. your receivers got to get open. You just can't run hitches all day and expect to get open. And, you know, you got to be creative. And that's my thing when I talk about the blandness of the offense. But just be more creative. You know what I'm saying? Run different. Run the ball. Just run different plays. Run some sweeps. Run you some powers and windbacks and all that jet sweep. Do that. Mm-hmm. Don't just get a ball to DeAndre Swift and let him expect him to run through the A gap.
Well, have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, go into the game with that as your strategy. Because we know what the identity of Georgia's offense is today. Now, whether or not it's going to continue to be this for the whole Kirby Smart tenure, I don't know. Maybe at some point he alters a little bit. But what I do know is it's not going to change because they lost to South Carolina on Saturday versus what they do against Kentucky. But like you said, I think it's okay to tinker.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they were what Kirby Smart wants them to be on Saturday. I think part of what they did was what he wants them to be. They're run first, they're always going to be.
Correct.
But if you hear Kirby and the way that he talked about it in his press conferences on Monday and Tuesday, he did not call James Coley out. He's not going to do that. When he was asked about James Coley, he said, "We're worried about Kentucky," okay?
Right.
He gave his Bill Belichick, "We're on to the next one" thing.
Right.
He's not going to throw a coach under the bus in public. But he did give some specific examples of what he wants to be different at.
Then you tell Coley. You got a headphone.
Better.
You got you know, the headphones he got, it's two switches that the head coach has. He has one for offense and one for defense. Click it over to offense and
is
say,
that how
hey,
it works?
Yeah. Click it over to the offense and say, "Hey, Coley." You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
And maybe Coley did try to do something. The players just couldn't get open and all that. I mean, there's so many things that go into a football game, but all you see right there, because if you're not there and you watch it on TV, you don't always get the widescreen. You always don't get to know what's going on. That's why I always talk about whenever you watch football and a cornerback gives up a big play, that defines his game right there. Not the fact that the other 59 plays, he's locking this dude down, but the one play he gives, this is the same thing with the O-line. You can play great for 70 plays. But you give up one sack. And I'm talking about you give up a sack in the second quarter. No effect on the game. But that's all they remember is that. When you're just sitting there watching it, you're like, okay, he has all day to throw the football. Well, a lot of times when a quarterback has all day to throw the football, that means his receivers aren't getting open.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you want to be a rhythm passer, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, 5, 7, three-step drop. When that back foot hits, it's coming out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, or you're going to see his eyes shift to another read. If it's not there, you take off or throw it away. But they don't have that right now. Guys are not getting open. Now, sometimes they are. And just like you said, you're getting predictable to a point where you know when Pickens is in, what's going to happen. When Tyler's in, you know what's going to happen. Because Pickens is not blocking. But I always say this about blocking. It's so much of just want to. Just get in the way.
I remember when we had a conversation with DJ Shockley on a Monday back at the beginning of the season. I don't remember after what game it was, but we asked him who he thinks at the end of the year would be Georgia's number one receiver. And he said George Pickens.
Well, we all did. I think a lot of us did.
Yeah, and I want that to be true. But my whole thing was always Pickens could be the guy as long as he can do the other stuff. Like, he's going to be able to catch the ball. He can get open. He can make great catches. He's going to have highlight reel stuff.
Right.
Kirby literally kept Demetrius Robertson off the field all year last year because he couldn't block.
But here's the thing. The funny thing about it is you don't get drafted to block in the NFL. No, you want your receivers to block in the NFL. And for the most part, their whole motto is, I mean, just going to get in the way. I mean, but you got these Falcons receivers like Julio Muhammad. They coming to get you.
Sure.
You know, but you got some guys that's just getting in the way.
That's the thing that Georgia has had, though.
Yes.
The last couple of years, those receivers were excellent.
Because they
blocking.
Knew that that's the only way you were going to get on the field.
Right.
You know, and that was something that how I was raised and everything. You know, you want to play wide receiver, you want to play, you got to block. And especially if you're talking about you're on a prominently dominant run football team. You know what I'm saying? You got to block. I mean, the perimeter blocks are so important because those are usually the ones that spring you. Those are usually the ones that spring that long run.
Right, and that's why when you look at Georgia's offense and you heard Kirby talk about wanting more explosive plays because obviously that's how you're going to get down the field quicker and score more points. I mean, that was his big point, which is obvious, but also I like that he drove it home. It sounded, again, kind of like a comment towards Coley. Offenses are judged on their ability to score points.
Yes.
How are we scoring points? And he's tired of, and it sounded to me, like he's tired of every drive having to be this long, methodical, clock-eating, run the ball down their throat drive. Like, that's fine.
That's fine.
And that can be where you start from. But you got to break off those big plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you're getting less chunk yards from your run game. I think partially because you don't have great blocking on the outsides. And the other thing is, I think when you have certain guys in the game, like we were just talking about, you're telegraphing to the defense what you're going to do. Because if George Pickens is out there, and I'm James Coley, and I know George Pickens is not a great blocker, am I running a run play to George Pickett's side of the
run
field?
Run another way to end.
Okay. But the defense knows what's coming because you're putting guys on the field that can block or receivers on the field that can't, depending on the play that you're going to run. Predictability is the worst enemy of an offensive play caller.
Yes.
And James Coley was the most predictable play caller in America on Saturday.
He was.
That's a big part of the reason why they lost.
No, they lost because of turnovers.
And turnovers.
Yeah,
Jake Fromm can't do that either.
We already talked about these guys, but it's coming up, Andy. And I think we're all supposed to go as a show to opening night at the Hawks, presented by State Farm Arena. It is next Saturday, October 26th at 7:30. They're playing the Magic. Limited seats remain. Please go to Hawks.com/tickets to secure your seat today.
Jake Fromm, by the way, Trevor Lawrence as well, off the board for Heisman odds at the sportsbook in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
One of the sportsbook, they took him down.
Oh, my God.
Can't even bet on him anymore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just saying. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams in studio with us later. I know you wanted to bet money on him, but you can't do it anymore. We'll come back on the more the midday show. What are we? Sports radio something or other. I don't know. Where am I? Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. 20 minutes away from the most important audio in the world. Wes Durham going to stop by at 12:20 as well for our Lunchtime Falcons Report. But Wendy Adams is in studio. It's 11:40. It's time for the Wendy Zone. Hi, Wendy.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Well, sort of a strange incident involving Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett. So if you were on Twitter and you follow Myles Garrett on Twitter, two really interesting tweets popped up around noon yesterday. His first one said, a, quote, fan hopped out of his car to take a picture with me and then punched me in the face. HM, put your legs into it. It might have actually made me flinch.
What does HM mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't be knowing.
Yeah, maybe it was just hmm.
It might have been hmm. I know. When I read that tweet, I was like, you know, is that an acronym? I don't understand.
It's either hmm or I don't know.
No, I don't be knowing that stuff.
Then he followed that up and said, was in my car, flagged me down for a picture. I'm assuming he was talking about the fan. And I cracked the window enough for the camera to get my face, took the pic, and he gave me a pillow tap. So a report from the Cleveland Division of Police identified the suspect because Myles Garrett had gotten the license tag of the car. His name is Richard Perez. He's 24 from Strongsville, Ohio. Garrett told police that he was on his cell phone around 2 o'clock when a man later identified as Perez pulled up next to the vehicle and asked for a picture. Garrett said the man got out of his car, approached his down driver's side window, took a photo of him, and then he struck him with a closed fist. Just sort of a bizarre incident. I don't know why you would want to do it to Myles Garrett.
Oh.
And I'm sure if this would have been Randy McMichael in the car and a fan would have done this.
It would have been a lot of snatching. I would have snatched his, you know, but.
His what?
Yeah. Anyways, but no, it's crazy because I wonder if he was leaving the game or when this happened. Because a lot of times whenever you leave the game in your car, you want to keep the windows up.
Yeah,
it was yesterday.
Oh, okay, I thought I was leaving the game.
No, it was Wednesday.
Because you would always drive your car to be fans, and if you wanted to sign autographs, you roll your window down just a little bit, sign it and whatever, unless you had a convertible. But, damn, they're just punching your face?
The hell's wrong with people? This is the second day in a row, that's basically
what I wanted to say.
Yesterday's story was the dumb kid from Alabama who called in a bomb threat to a football game because his friend was losing at betting. And now you got a guy who, for whatever reason, decided he would try to and I guess he did punch him. Punch Myles Garrett in the face.
Why?
I don't know.
Man, why?
I don't know. I don't know why. I guess because you don't think he'd, like, if he does something about it, then you could sue him and get money. Like, I have no idea. Like, but what makes you.
But he ran off, though.
How
this
do you
guy ran
get
off.
To the point where
of being
you feel
stupid?
So emboldened or entitled, and that's the word I used yesterday with that dumb college kid, to do something like that. Because Myles Garrett, if he wanted to, could kill that guy with his bare hands in under 30 seconds.
Well, he could have also followed him in his own car and found the guy.
I don't understand. I try to fight hard against the idea that we're deteriorating as a society because I just don't want to believe it. Because I think so many things are better. So many things have gotten better here. But then you got stuff like this.
There's a lot of positive.
Where'd you send the guy to yesterday?
Send him to Angola over there and let him sleep on the bottom bunk.
You send this guy to Angola, too? Do they got to go together to Angola?
Yeah, let him sleep on the bottom bunk.
What kind of biscuit should he eat?
Just a dry biscuit with no water.
Yeah.
That's just – and that's what – I mean, it's amazing that
you wake up every morning sometimes, and it's just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like,
yeah,
like why?
I don't know. I mean, I've done a lot of dumb stuff in my life,
And I have too.
I'm a 24 year old though.
But yeah, when I was 24, I was a total idiot.
But I didn't do stuff like that.
I
didn't do stuff like that.
The dumb stuff I did was mostly self inflicted. You know, oh, you spent too much money. You maybe had too much to drink at the Christmas party and said something to your boss you shouldn't have said. Like, that kind of stuff. But I didn't punch a defensive end in the face because I knew if I did, I might die. I've always been for self-preservation. They're not going to try to pick a fight with somebody who could literally kill me with his bare hands. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, not overheard. It's the dumbest thing I've heard in the last 15 minutes.
I just don't understand.
Instead of jail, what should this guy's punishment be?
Myles Garrett should be allowed to punch him in the face.
Yes, just straight.
That should be his punishment.
Just straight walk off and just... stole him.
Right. Just he has to stand there. Or maybe like hands tied behind his back with a blindfold so he doesn't know how to flinch or anything.
And get kicked right in the twigs and berries. Just ta-da!
Yeah.
So both.
That's what.
Yeah, face that, and then other things.
Yeah, that's what should happen to him.
Ta-da!
Face and all and things.
Yeah. Myles Garrett should be allowed
in the stomach.
A free shot on this guy. I think that would be fair.
No, he should be the day a tackling dummy. They should make
in practice. Yeah, let the defensive line have at him.
Yeah.
I think that's what they should do.
Well, we'll stick with the Cleveland Browns right here in fan behavior, but it's sort of a weird story. So, do you guys remember the Tennessee Browns game in Week 1? You had defensive back Logan Ryan. He was doused with beer after he jumped over the wall. He scored a touchdown. And then one of the Cleveland Browns fans who was in there who had a beer doused him with water. Well, the Browns swiftly identified that man as a man named Eric Smith as the culprit, according to a new lawsuit. So, Eric Smith, this man who filed a lawsuit against the Cleveland Browns, was banned from First Energy Stadium. The problem is that Smith wasn't even at the game. He says he was DJing a wedding that day. The Browns didn't disclose his name publicly, but Smith took to Twitter to say he had been misidentified. Now, the misidentified man is now suing the Cleveland Browns. According to his attorney, he's seeking public retraction from the Browns in addition to financial damages. So the Browns quickly identified this man, wrong guy. It was a very generic looking man. I don't know how you...
I know him. That's Eric Smith.
Because the dude in the video, if you look at the video, the dude in the video just had a Cleveland Browns hat on and sunglasses and a beard.
What are you suing for?
Yeah, I know.
A public apology.
Like, but what's the monetary value of being misidentified for pouring beer on someone?
Yeah, like
you can sue somebody for anything now.
Right. Oh, like, what do you think he's asking?
That's what I'm saying. Is he asking for some money?
What do you want? Like,
I think I read in one story it was
$25,000.
You gotta go kick rocks.
$25,000.
I'm kind of embarrassed.
I wouldn't even give you an apology. You come at me for some $25,000 because I misidentified
That's
you.
That's so it much
happens.
Money.
It happens.
Man.
$25,000.
You could be the night show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for that much. Well, not quite, but almost.
But you don't want to be known as the man who doused a football player with the beer and then saying you're the one that was banned.
I mean, I would just ask, all right, just put a little thing up that says I didn't do it.
That's it.
So my friends know that I didn't do that. I don't know.
But you're still going to have that label.
Give me some tickets. Give me some tickets. Do something.
Unban me?
Unban me. Yeah, unban me. Give me some tickets. I do wonder how they went about identifying someone. It is bad when the wrong person is identified for certain things.
Yes, like, because then, you know,
it's like a really big deal.
Especially in today's society when, say, for instance, some people can't spell or stupid or something like that, and then they are trying to attack a person on Twitter but attack the wrong person.
Right.
Like, you attack the wrong Joe Smith.
Sure.
You're like, who, you know, and Joe Smith is some crazy fool because you just so in your feelings that you got to at Joe Smith.
Or, like, wasn't the Olympic bombing in 96, they identified the wrong person at first and they're like going after him and all that. Like, that's a bad case of being wrongly identified. I mean, this is bad, but it's not the same. Give me some tickets, you know?
Some tickets and a public apology is all you
need. That's all I need. I don't need $25,000. I don't think it's worth $25,000. I'm not owed $25,000 in this case.
Well, I want to get to this really quick because it's just a video that was making its rounds on Twitter yesterday, and it's a fan at Yankee Stadium. And Andy, I know you and I have had the privilege of sitting in those seats, sort of surrounding home plate. That around there, pretty cushy seats. Well, that crowd is usually not very
free beer.
They're not very like loud sometimes. I know at the Atlanta Braves games they are, but apparently not at Yankee Stadium. So some fan was trying to single-handedly change that. So a guy in front of him turned the video camera around. This poor man standing up all by himself while everybody else around him is sitting down, and this is what it sounded like.
Let's go, Colo! Everybody! gotta get up. We're playing Cole. This is the game right here. Get up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Let's go.
We all know.
I don't understand. I don't understand why you paid all these tickets if you don't want to win the game. I don't understand.
Sounds like Bagel
Would
Boss.
Would it be me? Would it be me? Show shall not be me. I will not sit with two outs in the American League Championship
Good luck.
Series.
That's awesome.
We all know that guy in the stands.
Yeah, we do.
But poor thing, he was just all by himself.
You know
what
I like? You ever been in a game where the guy tries to get the wave going?
Yes, that's
and
the
everybody's
worst.
Like,
no one likes the
I'll
wave.
You, nah, man, nobody's
the
doing
funny
the wave.
The thing is,
bro.
If you ever go to a Georgia game, it's staggering. And I don't know if this guy's there. It was always this one dude that was sitting under the basket, and he had a red sweater on. I never forget the red sweater guy because we go. And he would be that guy, like, trying to pump the crowd up. Now, no, Georgia was terrible, and we get foot spinning us. But he would just do that the whole game, dude. And we're like, I want to rest where the man still go to Stegman. Thanks, Wendy.
You got it.
All right, guys, we got the Taste of Atlanta coming up. So join 92.9 The Game and the Taste of Atlanta. The award-winning three-day food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience on October 18th through the 20th at historic Fourth Ward Park. Come taste Atlanta's best bites for more than 100 Atlanta restaurants. Get tickets at tasteofatlanta.com.
I think this song is controversial now. Isn't Lizzo being accused of plagiarizing this song? Yeah, the plot thickens with this song, as I thought it would. We'll get to the most important audio in the world coming up next to kick off the noon hour on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.